Going to be in several different verses today, and we'll start out with Luke 22. Luke 22 is where we will start out. Luke 22, if you're there, and we'll start out there, and we'll look at verses 47 and 48 in Luke 22. While you're turning, let's get to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, I'm so excited to be in the house of God today. God, I'm so excited to be a part of a church that don't mind worshiping you. Being a part of a church that's excited about Jesus. Being a part of a church that don't worry about raising their hands, praising God, saying amen, clapping God. Lord, it's great to be in a house of the Lord where the church is excited about Jesus, excited about the love story, excited about your word and the songs that we sing in word, God. God, we welcome you here in this place, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here. God, thank you for showing up already. Thank you for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God already evident and real in this place. Thank you for the mighty movement of your word and of your spirit, God. Thank you for sensing your spirit today. Fill this place, the Lord, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Defeat the devil, bind Satan, his demons, and workers up. God, keep him at bay. They're not welcome here and wanted here. And God, again, let the Holy Spirit have freedom to rule and reign in our lives, the Lord. God, as we open up your word, may we be challenged in your word. God, your word said it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting and piercing asunder of the bones, the marrow, the heart, and soul. And God, we just ask you today, Lord, may your word cut where it needs to cut, may it prick where it needs to prick. May we be challenged in our lives, the Lord, where we need challenged. To be better stewards of our time for you, God. To be excited, God, may we be renewed, refreshed, and revived. And when we walk out of here today, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, we don't thank you for your presence here. God, I pray as we open up the reading of your word, that God, you will anoint the reading of your word. God, that your word would accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you today, that your will be done in my life and each and every individual's life that's in here today, that your will be done. Bless again. Again, the powerful and mighty word of God, the reading of your word. God, we give this message to you. We give the church and the people to you. It is yours, God. Take it and do with it as you please. And God, we're going to thank you for the outcome. And we're going to expect great and mighty things because we live in a life of expectancy because we serve a great God. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Look back with me. Jesus, we're going to talk about Jesus, the suffering Messiah King. When you look at Luke 22 and verse 47 through 48, we're going to talk about Jesus was betrayed by a close friend. Number one, we see right off the bat in this verse of scripture, Jesus' suffering started right off the bat with his betrayal of a friend. My friends, can you imagine that somebody that walked with Jesus, somebody that talked with him, somebody that experienced him, and then he was betrayed by that. Look at Luke 22, verse 47 and 48 says this. Says, and while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When you think about that, we've been studying over in the Psalms on Wednesday nights. And this past Wednesday night, we talked about Psalm 22 and David, and how David was a man that became a king. And we talked about Jesus was a king that became man and felt like you and I did. Walked this earth like we did. Knew what we were. He left the throneship and the kingship of the Heavenly Father. And he come down here to dwell among us like a man. My friends, and we talked about that. In Psalms 41:9, it says this. It says, yes. It says, yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, and hath lifted up his heels against me. Jesus' suffering started with a betrayal of a friend. And I think about often in life and oftentimes in your experiences and my experiences, often that we have friends and those that we become acquaintances with, and we invite them over, and we have dinner with them. They're in our house, and we're in theirs. And so many times we build a friendship, we build an acquaintance, and then, my friends, something happens down the road where you've invested in this family and the family's invested in you, and you provide things for them. You open up and maybe tell them the deepest, darkest secrets in your life, only to find out that you've been betrayed and been duped by a friend. You ever been there? Ever been there? It don't feel too good, does it? No. And my friend, here was Jesus. Jesus' suffering started, my friend. As Jameson was talking about Palm Sunday, here we are. Jesus' suffering started when he was betrayed by a best friend. When he was betrayed by a friend, my friends. No doubt, here this Jesus was in Judas. Many times I can imagine over the years and experiences of his life on earth when he just called him as a disciple, that Judas was a part and seen many times the miracles at the hands of God, seen many times the miracles with Jesus, seen many times where Jesus healed people and touched them, seen many times where they were brokenhearted and he healed it, seen many times when they were sick and diseased with demons and physical illness and Jesus ministered to it. Many times he sat around a table and broke hands with our Lord and Savior Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Many a times I can picture Judas being there in the ministry with Jesus, and then when it comes down to it, turns and kisses him, denies him, and walks away from him and betrays him, my friend. But you know what? Even though that happened, Jesus died for Judas Iscariot. Jesus died for his best friend, my friend, that betrayed him. And we've been in the same boats. If you've had friends and lived a life of those kind of things, you've come to a point in your life where you might have had that happen to you. Oh, listen, Jesus' suffering took place, my friend, with a betrayal of a friend. His suffering started then when you think of here was a man. He had been with him and walked with him. And yet he betrayed Jesus. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, number two, not only was Jesus betrayed by a close friend, but also Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Look at Matthew 26 in verse 14 and 15. It says this. It says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. You look over in Zechariah 11:12, and it says over there, and it gives an account of it. It says, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. So here was Jesus betrayed by his best friend. But not only that, his best friend betrayed him for money. You ever been there? You ever been there? Use you and get close to you and love on you and then betray you and walk away after they get every dime you got. Oh, listen to me. Jesus was in the same boat. Jesus was in the same boat, my friends, as we were. He felt like we did. He's touched with our infirmities. Here was Jesus, not only betrayed by a familiar friend, but my friend betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, listen to me. How many times have you seen people go down a path, my friend, and it's all about money? What can I get? The more that I get, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to get this. And when they got it, guess what? They still ain't happy. They still ain't happy. It's not about money. It's not about material possessions. It's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we deal with Jesus, we see that in the second part of his suffering, the suffering of the Messiah King, my friends, somebody let 30 pieces of silver intervene and money intervened in the life and rejecting of Jesus and torturing him. Oh, listen, there again, it was an old familiar friend that did this, and my friend caused more suffering for Jesus. Oh, when you look at that verse and you look back at verse 48 in Luke 22, it said, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with what? A kiss. Betrayest thou with the Son of Man a kiss? And then he walked down. You know how the story goes on. And he began to barter with them for the 30 pieces of silver. Not only that, but I look at the suffering of the Messiah King. Number three, I see Jesus was accused by false witnesses. Jesus was accused by false witnesses. When you look at Mark 14, in verse 57 and 58, it says this. It said, and there arose certain and bear what? False witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple. I will destroy it that is made with hands. And within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. Amen. He was telling them the greatest story of the gospel. He was preaching the gospel to them. He was telling them the gospel truth and delivering it to them. And said, oh, this body will be destroyed. But in 3 days, this one that's made with hands is going to be destroyed. But in 3 days, there's going to be one that's going to raise up out of this grave that wasn't made with hands. And its body's going to be Jesus. Guess what? That's the same thing going to happen to you and me on the resurrection day when Jesus blows the trump of God out of 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. He said he would not have us to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning the children of God, that you sorrow not as those that have no hope. He said one day there's going to be a shout, there's going to be the voice of an archangel, there's going to be a trump of God, and it said the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to be with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Because one day he's coming again. One day he's coming again. He tells us in 1 Corinthians over in 14 or 15th chapter. He said one day this body, this mortal body will put on immortality. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. And we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We'll put on a body fashioned and glorified like unto Jesus. He was preaching the gospel to them. They just didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. He told them. He said he was accused by false witnesses. Over in Psalms 35:11, he says this. He said, false witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things I knew not. Oh, listen to me. When you stand up and you start speaking out for Jesus, you stand up and you start preaching the word of God, and you start living a life for him, understand people are going to accuse you. Understand they can conjure up some stuff, my lens, I don't even know where to come up with it at. Oh, listen to me. Since I've been here, I've been a drunk. I've been a drug addict. I've been in jail. I've been whatever you can come up with. I've been it, Brother Leroy. Get my messages off the internet and you know, all that good stuff. I get my messages from the Word of God, by the way, if you think I'm getting it from the internet. Yeah. Amen. But I get my messages from the internet, and I get them from all that kind of stuff and cartoon characters and everybody else. But let me just tell you something, by the way. I can get a message in any form or fashion that God chooses to give it to me in. Amen. Just to let you know that, I mean, Brother James could come up and give me a thought, and I say, you know what? That triggered a thought. Spencer can come up and beat a tune on the drum or something. I can say, hey, I like that, man, and get a thought from Spencer. Or sit there and go out with Mark in the truck and be walking around the property and looking what Jesus has done and over the water, and me and him be talking, and he'll say something and tweak a spirit in me. That's right. Pricks my spirit and say, that's a message from the Lord. I can get it from the radio in Hope FM 91.3. I put a gig out there for Robin. I'm going to be listening to a glorious gospel song for her and get a message in the radio. I'm going to be going to breakfast with Danny. He owes me a few anyhow. And go to breakfast with Danny, and we'll be sitting there talking at angels, and the angel come down and give me a message. Give me a word. Give me a word. You can get it from any form or fashion that you will if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you a message, my friend, if you will. Oh, listen, Jesus was accused by false witnesses. False witnesses did rise up, and they did lay to us charge things that I knew not. Boy, I've done things I didn't even know I'd done. I've done a lot of things, but I've done a lot of things I didn't know I'd done either. You know, and I said, man, bless God, if they're attacking me, they're leaving you alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all happy for that too, ain't you? Amen. I got big shoulders I can deal with it. Bring it on. I'll just lay the smackdown on you called Jesus. Amen. Hey, smackdown called Jesus. Amen. When he lays the smackdown on you, you'll feel it for a long time. Not only that, but the suffering of the Messiah King. Number four, Jesus was spat upon, and he was smitten. Look at Matthew 26 in verse 67. Matthew 26 says this. Says, then did they what? Spit in his face. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. He tells us in Isaiah 50 verse 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked out my hair, and I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. Oh, listen to me. Jesus was a bigger man than I ever thought about being. Amen. And I think he's a bigger man and woman than any of you ever thought about being in here. Because I know you ain't going to stand there unless somebody spit in your face. Hey, that's right. I know you ain't going to stand there and just let somebody pop you on this cheek and pop you on that one. Then while they finish popping you, get a pair of tweezers if you got a beard and start plugging it all out. I know that's going to work. Amen. And you got a nice full one right here. Let me just come and smack my friend around up there. He's leaving today. Go back up north. But let me smack him a couple times and got some tweezers and pull on that thing out. You're going to stand there and let me do it, aren't you? I really, of course I am. Just try it. Yeah, just try it and see. But, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, here he is in Jesus. You know, they smacked him, and they buffeted him, and they spit in his face, and he took that on himself, the suffering Messiah King for you and for me. For you and for me. He took that on for us. For us, and I sit there thinking, what a Savior. What love. What love. Agape love. Abba, Father, Daddy, Jesus, took that on for you and me and went through all that for us and took the beating and took it on his face. It said, they spit in his face and they buffeted him and they smote him with the palm of their hands. And it said, and then he gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked out the hair, and I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I thought about that on Wednesday night when we were doing our message, and we were talking about King David. You know, and we got on that subject that David was a man, and he became king. Jesus was a king and became flesh and man. And we thought about that. And it said, every time as we build up to the suffering of the Messiah, as we build up to this day to talk about all that Jesus went through, it was said that every time, as that verse said, that he gave my back to the smiters. Every time that a cat of nine tail swiped him and was pulled back, every time that strap and that shrapnel and that metal wrapped around him and pulled it back, it had your name on it. And it had my name on it. And he felt every bit of that pain. And he felt every bit of that sting. Every time he gave his back to the smiters, he felt it, my friends. And he felt it for you and for me. What love that the king had. He felt everything for you and me. Not only that, but number five, when I think about the suffering of the Messiah King, Jesus was hated without reason. In John 15 and verse 24 and 25, it says this, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not have sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. He goes on to say in Psalms 35:19, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Oh, listen to me. Scripture goes on to say that the stone, the cross, is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. My friends, when you start standing on the Word of God, and you start standing on the cross, and you start saying things for Jesus, listen, they'll find a reason to hate you without a cause. They'll find a reason to hate you without a cause. Oh, listen, they said that Jesus was hated without a reason. He gave his life for us. He was beaten for us. He was battered for us. He was buffeted for us. His beard was plucked out, my friends. His back was given to the smiters for you and me. And he did this for them. Jesus did nothing but minister to people, lend his hand to them, heal them of all their diseases, and save their soul and things of that nature, and preaching about the kingdom and his temple being destroyed and raising it in 3 days. And they didn't understand. They were ignorant to the gospel, my friend, and didn't understand that. And they tried everything they do to stop Jesus from going forward. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but they crucified him with two thieves and two malefactors. In Mark 15 and verse 27 through 28, it says this. It said, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled with saying, and he was numbered with our transgressors, with the transgressors. And then it says in Isaiah 53, 12, it says, therefore will I divide unto him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And said, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, listen to me, folks. When it talks about Jesus being crucified with two malefactors and two thieves, oh, listen to me. He was perfect, sinless, Lamb of God. Did not sin, but was placed on a tree and a cross with two thieves and two others that did wrong, my friend, and when being punished wrongly, but not my Jesus. He was a sinless sacrifice, Son of God. And he was put on there with transgressors. He was put on there with those that sinned. He was put on there with those, my friend, that were deserving to be put there. Oh, listen. He was crucified with them. As Isaiah 53, 12 again reads, it says, therefore, I'll divide unto him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul. He poured out his soul unto death. Do you get that? He poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, is made an intercession for the transgressors. He did all that for you and me. He did all that for you and me. Not only that, but Jesus was pierced through his hands and feet. And John 20, 27, it says this. It says, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Zechariah gives an account for it in Zechariah 12:10. He says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jesus the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me that have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Jesus said, reach here, hither thy finger. Bring your fingers and touch my hands. Thrust your finger into my side. And don't lose faith, believing that I am Jesus. Believing that I did die. Believing, here's my hands, here's my feet, to show proof of evidence that I gave my heart and life to you. Jesus was pierced through his hands and through his feet, my friend. And he was pierced through that for you and me. You know, there's a song that says, does he still feel the nails every time that I fail? Amen. Does he still feel the nails every time that I fail? You know, when you think about that, and you think about living your life for Jesus, and every time you get off astray and things of that nature, if you recall that song, does he still feel the nails every time I fail? It'll do something for your life. It'll do something for you. Does he still feel the pain that he took on the cross every time that I walk away? Every time I turn my back on him. My friend, he turned his back for the smiters, for you and me. And he did that for you and I. But every time we turn our back on him, does he still feel the nails through his hands and through his feet? Oh, listen to me. It'll do something for you. Not only that, but Jesus was scorned and mocked. Jesus was scorned and mocked. In Luke 23, verse 35, he says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And Psalms 22 and 7 and 8, as we read last week, and made a coalition between the two, it says, and all they that see me, what? Laugh me to scorn, and they shoot off the lip, and they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. They mocked him. My friend, listen to me. don't be fooled. Jesus stayed on that cross because of the love in his heart for you and me. Ain't no man and no amount of man could have held my Jesus down and nailed him to a cross if he didn't want to be nailed to the cross for you and me. No man could have put him there. He could have called out the angels. He could have called out to God, the Father himself, and God could have wiped them dead right then. Poof! And be done with. There ain't no nails held him up on that cross. There ain't no nails held him on there with his hands and his feet. It's called love. It's called love that held him there. The love that he has for you and me is what held him there, my friends. Oh, not only that. Not only that, but the soldiers gambled for his garments in the suffering of the Messiah King. And Matthew 27 and verse 35 through 36 says this. It said, and they crucified him. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. In Psalm 22, as we went over on Wednesday night, in verse 17 and 18 says this, says, I may tell all my bones. They took, and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. They took and they gambled for his clothes. Not only was it enough, shameful enough that he was being crucified with two thieves. Not only was it shameful enough to put on a cross. Not only was it shameful enough for everything he's went up to this point that we've talked about. But now they're going to rob him of the only thing he had left in his dignity. They ripped him of his clothing. Not only that, but they said, let's gamble for it. Let's play some dice. Let's gamble. Let's add some money to this and take it and gamble for it. Ah, oh, the soldiers gambled for Jesus' garment. Not only that, but the suffering Messiah, Jesus was forsaken by his own. Jesus was forsaken by his own, my friend. It says in the scripture, in Matthew 27:46, it says this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out. In Psalm 22:1, he says the same thing. In Psalm 22:1, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my warning? Oh, Jesus cried out. He was forsaken by his own. He was forsaken by the Father, my friend, because he could not look upon sin. And when Jesus was on the cross, he took the sin of the whole world upon his shoulders, my friend. And he had to turn his back. He couldn't look upon it. Oh, listen. Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he had to, my friend. He had to be the ultimate sacrifice that paid the price for your sin, debt, and mine. And only through the blood of Jesus are we cleansed. He tells us in John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Oh, he had to give his life for you and me. And he gave it willingly, my friend, even though he was forsaken. And how many times have we forsaken Jesus? How many times have we forsaken him? How many times have we walked away from him? Listen to me, Jesus has never done me nothing but good. Amen. And we walk away from him. We turn our backs on him. And my friend, a lot of it has to do with different ones and different things and different issues that come up in our life. My friend, we choose to walk out the door instead of doing what Scripture says to do and make it right. Oh, we choose to walk out. How many times, my friend, have we forsaken God? Not yet, not one has God forsaken us. His timing's not our timing, folks. There are some times that I don't understand times. There are things I don't understand. But my friend, I know God's in control. There are certain situations that happen and tragedies happen in life that I don't have the answers for. But Scripture says God works all things out for the good, for those that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. I don't know his timing, but I know, my friend, his timing is always perfect. Perfect timing. And my friend, I don't know, we may never see and understand things here, but my friend, we got to keep faith in the Lord that God's in control and he knows all about the situation. And he knows what's going on. And he cried out, my friend. Jesus cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? His own turned his back on him. Not only that, but in the suffering Messiah King, Jesus, his side was pierced. In John 19:34, he said this, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came their blood and water. In Zechariah, back in Zechariah 12:10, it says this again. It says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. You know, when I thought about that for a minute, and I thought about what they were saying, and it says again, it says in the middle part of that, it says, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication was poured out, and they look upon him whom they have pierced. The spirit of grace and supplication, even though Jesus went through all that he went through and suffering that he did, he still had a spirit of grace and supplication. Well, that's amazing things for us to learn. All that he went through, he still had that spirit. Not only that, but Jesus, the suffering Messiah, King, Jesus was also buried with the rich. In Matthew 27, in verse 57 through 60, it says this. Said, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Jesus had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen clothes. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And Isaiah 53:9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Oh, my friend, Jesus died for you and me. Was humiliated and embarrassed for you and me. Oh, the last thing that I think about is Jesus was and is the vicarious sacrifice for you and me. Jesus was and is the vicarious sacrifice for you and me. He tells us in Romans 5, in verse 6 and 8, he says this. Says, for when we were yet without sin, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly, he says. He said, but God, in verse 8, he said, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was the vicarious sacrifice. Isaiah 53:5 says it like this. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My friends, Jesus, suffering, bled and died for you and me. Jesus gave his life for us. He became the vicarious sacrifice for you and me, my friends, and he gave his life for us. He suffered, he bled, he died. As we went and we talked about, his suffering, my friend, started with the betrayal of a friend. It didn't end there. My friend, not only did that friend betray him, my friends, but he also betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. It went on to say in those scriptures that Jesus took the smiting of the hands upon his cheeks and his face. He took the plucking of his beard out. He turned his back to the smiters and took the whipping of the cat of nine tails for you and me. And as I said, every time that whip hit him, my friend, it had your name on it and mine. And every sting and every bit of that pain that he felt had your name on it and mine. And he took it all for you and me. Not only that, but they mocked him and they scorned him. They plaited a crown of thorns together and they shoved it down on his head. and every spike that went into my Savior's head. Amen. Every spike and everything that he felt had your name on it. And my name on it. Because he loves you and he loved me. How many times when I sit there and I think about that. I think that he was refused by his own. The God the Father forsaken him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? As I said, when I think about the nails that went through his hands and his feet, and I think about that song, does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Does he still feel the spikes that are shoved down on his brow, on his head? And every one of those spikes represents some kind of sin that I did in my life. And does he feel that every time I fail? That wasn't good enough. They shoved a spear in his side, my friend, and he did that for you and for me. The suffering Messiah did that for us. And sometimes we can be so self-centered and selfish, thinking about only us, you know, not others, and not what we do and the effect and the ripple effect it's going to have on others' lives. My friend, God ain't never done me nothing but good. Oh, let's get our eyes upon him. Our focus upon him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he took all this on for you, and he took it on for me, and he took it on for all. For whosoever will shall come. He said that he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He did it for you and me. He could have came off that cross, but he stayed for you and me. So that we will have a way out. So that we can have a way to accept him as Lord and Savior and live for all eternity in him in a place called heaven. Oh, you see, in John 14, as I quoted earlier in verses 1 and following, he says in those scriptures in John 14, 1 through following, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus went away and prepared a mansion for you and me. But there's only one way to get there, and that's by making Jesus Lord of your life. He took all this suffering and did all this for you and me to have a way out. Or you might be here today and say, you know what, I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. I don't understand all that. I don't know what you're talking about, but I need to do something. I need a change in my life. Jesus is standing at your heart's door knocking today. All you got to do is open it up. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here and you've been away from the Lord for a long time. Jesus turned his back to the smiters and took every beating of the whip for you. And he turns back his arms today and say, I've been right here waiting for you. Come home. Come home. It don't matter what you've done. Don't matter where you've been. And I can care less. All I want you is right with Jesus. And all Jesus wants is a relationship with you. And right where you turned your back on him, and Jesus was still taking those stripes and those beatings for you, today he turns right back around and faces you with his arms open wide and say, come on. Come on. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. I would love to be a pastor of this church. Would love to be your family of God. Maybe you need to come and pray like others are already praying at the altar. Maybe you need to come and pray. I don't know. Will you do business with the Lord today? Will you stand up with me as we sing? You come as Jesus leads and lays upon your heart.